Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message.
We started with studying on the Word of God of how the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. It was a commandment. You must be born again. And then last Sunday, we looked at, as a part of the process of being born again, the Bible says you should be baptized in water. And today, we want to look at the importance of being baptized in the Spirit. What is the meaning of being baptized in the Spirit? Let's look at that verse. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 8. John the Baptist says, I baptized you with water, but he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he, the Lord Jesus will baptize you with Holy Spirit. Baptize you with Holy Spirit? Baptism in water, that pastors will do. But baptism in the Holy Spirit, only Jesus will do. Baptism in water, pastors can do. You want to get baptized, pastors will baptize you, starting with John the Baptist. But you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Only Jesus is worthy. Only Jesus can do that for anybody here. So there are a lot of questions or thoughts that come around this topic of baptism in the Spirit. See, when you are and I are born again, as we receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, immediately the Holy Spirit comes into our life. The first thing we have to understand is Holy Spirit comes into us the minute we are born again. And then permanently the Holy Spirit is in us. But many of us don't even know Holy Spirit came in us. We don't realize Holy Spirit came in us. We don't experience that. Why? Because we are all human beings who deal with one another. Okay, can I have a married couple here? Someone who is married. Hey, you both are sitting there. How do you communicate with each other? You talk. They are being crucified for other families, okay? They are taking the load. But all of you, not only married people, even unmarried people, how do we communicate with others? Talk, of course, speak. Listen, yes, of course. Gestures, super. Yeah, gestures of the eyes, hands, body language, yeah. What else? Telephonic, okay, you type it out, right. Right. They all are laughing because they are seated. Don't worry. So, you come here. Sit. I'm going to ask another question. Sit. I'm going to, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. When you want to talk to somebody, do you talk to yourself? This is the problem when it comes to God. Because we as human beings are taught to deal only with what is outside of us. And when it comes to God, He deals from inside of us. All our training, education, our life is built on our sense organs. This man came, this woman came to talk to me, to communicate with me. I see him, I hear him, I smell him, I feel him, maybe with a handshake, or I feel her with a handshake. And I hear, I see. That's how we communicate. But Holy Spirit, God communicates with us from the inside of us. And I'm confused. This is why Pentecostals go to prophets, so that God can be easy to deal with because He's heard from the outside. And we have so much faith in what prophet says. God has been saying that 100 times from inside us. But we are confused. But when one prophet says from the outside, makes sense. Because we are all trained, tuned for a relationship with external. And this is the challenge for a believer. A lot of times what happens is we see the mirror and we think that's us. That's not us. That's just our body. That's why when somebody dies, they don't say he's here. They say he's gone. He left the body and went. Even atheists talk like that. People who don't believe in God also talk like that. They say, he's gone. She's gone. They don't say she's here. We are going to bury her. No. She's gone. We're going to bury the body. We're going to cremate the body. Everyone deep inside their consciousness knows we are spirit beings that have a mind, a soul, and express through the body. And when the Holy Spirit comes into us, he doesn't come like human beings. And therefore, we don't smell him, feel him, touch him, nothing. Because he entered the spirit realm, the real who we are. Christ comes into the spirit realm when we are born again. Sometimes we even doubt, really, did I get born again? Am I okay? Has he come in? Yes, he has come. Your body and mind doesn't realize it because he's come in the spirit realm. And then I have seen this, okay, many people when Christ comes in their life, nobody has to tell them, their life changes. Just change. Don't feel like smoking anymore. Don't feel like drinking anymore, alcohol. Don't feel like addictions. Don't feel like being unfaithful to the family. They just want to be faithful to, nobody told them not to have an affair, but they just feel it's wrong. Because in the spirit realm, the Holy Spirit begins to touch our thinking. He begins to transform the mind. They are no longer angry like before. They are no longer vulgar like before. Something is changing on the inside. Without their knowledge, they are happier than before. Because from the spirit realm, God is touching the mind. And we are not even able to recognize it because we are also used to physical touch. So when God touches us on the inside, we don't realize, but things are changing. Our thinking changes. We are becoming more Christ-like and our actions are changing. Religion is the exact opposite. Our actions have to change first. Then we have to change who we are becoming. And maybe at some point our thinking will change. But Christ works exactly opposite. The Holy Spirit works the opposite. Our thinking changes in us because he is working in us. And that's why many Christians sometimes are confused. Really, Holy Spirit is in me. Why? I don't feel anything. Don't worry. You don't have to feel him. He is there. When you received him, he came into your life. Now, all of us want to know the will of God, especially during marriage. After marriage, you desperately need the will of God. But before marriage, you really want to know, is this the will of God? Which job to take? Is this the will of God? Which house to buy? Is this the will of God? And what we want, a vision, a sign, a prophecy. But God says, baby, that's not my preferred way of talking. I like to talk on the inside of you. And you must learn, develop the spiritual sensory perceptions. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, live a sacrificial life that you may know the will of God. Hallelujah. That you may know the acceptable and perfect will of God. By renewing your thinking, by being transformed by the word of God, by living a sacrificial life. So God's Holy Spirit speaks to us from the inside. And we need to train the mind by the word of God so that the word of God will condition our mind to discern what the spirit realm is hearing from God. From our childhood, our entire schooling is all about dealing with the external world. But Holy Spirit, Bible is all about dealing with the spirit world. And it's God, it's a different language. Am I helping anybody here? Is it coming across? When the Holy Spirit comes in us, he produces the character of Christ in us. Gentleness, peace, love, long-suffering, joy. List goes on. The fruit of the Holy Spirit he produces in us. When his presence begins to come upon us, Jesus said he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He'll baptize you. Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And that's where the power of God comes upon us. The power of God can be felt. The presence of God inside us cannot be felt. So many people, when they feel the presence of God, they say, today God was there. Every day God is with you. Today you experienced a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's a blessing. You need that. Christ would not come to offer the baptism of the Holy Spirit if that was not important. Jesus did not come to the earth to waste anybody's time, including his own time. Jesus Christ was not baptizing people like a video game. He was not doing it to take a break. Baptizing us in the Holy Spirit is a divine plan of God, and we must desire it. What are the expressions of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, in the New Testament church, that expression began to... Now, I personally believe that speaking in tongues is one of the expressions of the baptism in the Spirit. And Assemblies of God, it's a denomination that ordained me, it teaches that baptism is the expression. I necessarily don't agree with that doctrine. I feel to limit the baptism of the Holy Spirit to just speaking in tongues may not be the perfect way of expressing, because God can baptize people in the Holy Spirit and they may have different gifts than speaking in tongues. So, but speaking in tongues is definitely one sign of baptism in the Holy Spirit. When did it start? Acts chapter 2. Let's look at it. Verse number 1 onwards. Let's read together. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on them, on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them. So when Jesus baptized them in the Holy Spirit, the place they were seated was filled with the Holy Spirit. But what happened is interesting. Inside them, the Holy Spirit filled them. Inside them, the Holy Spirit filled them. And they began to speak in unknown tongues. In other words, the 120 disciples of Jesus, including the Blessed Mother of our Lord, Mary, they did not know what they were talking, what language they were talking. They didn't know. They didn't know what words they were using. But they were speaking something which they didn't understand. But what, let's start from the beginning. What is this Pentecost? So, For me, I like to explain things to myself in a way that is so easy to understand. Make it simple. That's what I like. If there's one thing about my preaching, it is my desire that I make it easy to understand so even children understand it. Some old people don't understand because they're prejudiced. That is okay. But those who like to understand should understand. So what is the Pentecost? What is the day of Pentecost? In India, we have two important days. Now, every day is important, but two days which are specifically important. One is called Independence Day. Another is called Republic Day. What is Independence Day? The day we kicked the Britishers out. Kicked them out. Then in 1950, we adopted Constitution as the book of our value systems. The law of the land. And that day is called the Republic Day. The day we got the law. In Israel, the day they came out of Egypt is called their Independence Day. But the day they got their law, 50th day after they came out of their bondage, 50th day after their independence, our Republic Day started 3 years after independence. 47, we got our independence. In 1950, we started the Republic Day because that's the day we got the Constitution. The Constituent Assembly for 3 years were drafting the Constitution of India under the chairmanship of Dr. B.R. Ambedkar. I'm just trying to say it right. So, I'm not a historian. History is not my strength, but just to give a perspective. So, Republic Day in India is the same as Pentecost in Israel. In Israel, Pentecost Day is the Republic Day of India. We are not Republicans or Democrats, but Republic Day of India is the Pentecost. So when you see Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it's equivalent to our Republic Day. I hope you are following this now. So on Israel's Republic Day, 120 disciples of Jesus were gathered and they were sitting in the Jerusalem. Now, what is this Republic Day of Israel called Pentecost? What is Pentecost? On the 50th day after they exited from Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. On the 50th day, when they were in the wilderness, God appeared on the Mount of Sinai and spoke to Moses while the whole of Israel was watching in the desert. Fire and wind came, a sound of mighty wind came from heaven, rested on the Mount of Sinai and spoke to Moses and gave him the law, the Ten Commandments. Gave him the law. For Israel, gave the constitution to Israel. That's Republic Day. In Israel terms, Pentecost Day. And on the day of Pentecost, why were apostles praying? That day, every year, Jewish people from around the world come to the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. Now there is a mosque there, but those days it was the Temple of Solomon that was there. They came there to pray and to rejoice that thousands of years ago, Holy Spirit came as a fire with a mighty sound and gave constitution, gave the law, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So that's the constitution of Israel. So they rejoiced that day. But the same time, what happened is Jesus Christ rose again from the dead a few days before Pentecost. And as he was talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olivet, he told them, guys, I'm going to leave now. First Corinthians, the Bible says over 500 disciples were watching. In 2 months, no, Jesus' disciples increased to 10,000s of people because when he came out of the grave, there is no count to the disciples he had. It just, I mean, when someone comes out of the grave and again starts doing miracles, you know, there is nothing to talk about. I mean, that is a big miracle, right? So big crowds began to follow him. On the Mount of Olivet, Jesus Christ was telling the disciples, I'm going to heaven. I'm going back to the Father. And you wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So you guys go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And you're going to receive. So out of the 500 who were watching, and Jesus Christ levitated, he ascended, I don't know at what speed, but he was going up, and the disciples were watching, they were crying, they were miserable, because their master was leaving, and they were shocked, as Jesus was going up into the air, and the Bible says he disappeared, as they were watching, he disappeared into the heavens, and the disciples came to Jerusalem. 500 heard Jesus saying, go and wait for the Holy Spirit, but only 120 came. You all are the 120. Those who didn't come are the other balance of the 500. The 120 came, including Mother Mary, the mother of our Lord. They came and they started praying, God, give us the Holy Spirit. On Israel's Republic Day, Pentecost Day, suddenly fire came from heaven. In the upper room of disciple Mark, Mark's first floor house. Okay, fire came from heaven with the sound of wind and sat upon this 120 people. And guess what? The people who are Jewish, who came from around the world to celebrate the Republic Day, they were shocked to see fire coming from heaven and sound coming from heaven. They were shocked because they know fire coming from heaven, sound coming from heaven is what happened to Moses and Israel thousands of years ago when the law was given. Now they were shocked, man, after thousands of years on our Republic Day, God is again giving the law or what? And they saw this fire is not coming to the temple. The fire is going to Mark's upper room. Disciples, they ran. Who wants temple? Because God is directly dealing. They ran to the upper room. They ran to the first floor of Mark's house. And when they ran there, they saw this fire is coming and sitting upon each one. And the apostles are shouting. They are speaking some language they themselves don't understand. Apostles don't know what they are speaking. But they are speaking in unknown tongues. And because this is a Jewish celebration where Jewish people from around the world, they come, this 10,000s of people that went to the upper room and stood around the house, 10,000s are standing around the house. And they started listening. Some local fellow said, "This is Peter and gang." It's written in the Bible. But I'm giving you Johnson version. "This is Peter and gang. Because few days ago, there Jesus ascended into heaven. They are having mass hysteria. They have lost. They have become hopeless. Mind flipped. That's why this experience of glossalia." Glossalia is a scientific word for the word tongues in the Bible. "They are having this experience because they have lost it there. Because their master is gone. Now they don't know what to do. From few days, they are all sitting here. No place in Mark's house. 120 people, you know, squeezed into one 3 BHK. Imagine how they are managing. So toilet is stinking. No food. They are just sitting there. Don't know when they'll come out." Local fellow started mocking. Local fellow said, "This is Peter, who used to play cricket with us." The other fellow who was shouting some gibberish, some nonsense. "That is John. In school only, he could not take second language. That fellow, what, he'll speak another language." So, like this, the Bible says local people were mocking the disciples. Disciples don't know this is happening. They are in their world, shouting in tongues. But I was counting yesterday, 16 language groups. Acts chapter 2 says 16 language groups understood. And they said, "Hey, we are coming from Crete. We are coming from Corinth. We are coming from parts of Rome. We are coming from different parts of Judea. We understand what these guys are saying. They are praising God in our local language." Then the local fellows were surprised. "How is it possible? These fellows don't know any other language. How can they talk your language?" So among the community that came to see only, confusion started. Some fellows are saying, "Hey, I recognize what he's saying." Local fellows are saying, "That is Mary, Jesus' mother. How can she talk another language?" Another fellow says, no, listen what she's saying. We are able to understand." Now imagine if 10,000s of people are able to hear them, how loudly they must have been shouting. People who have problem with Pentecostal churches, go to Acts chapter 2. You'll be happy at today's backsliding of Pentecostals, that they have mellowed down. Otherwise, they are at a 200 decibel level. Our country says you can't have more than 70, I think, decibel level. These fellows, whatever, they were high volume. They were shouting in tongues. Then someone told Peter, "Outside, big crowd has come, a fire has come from heaven. We don't realize they are able to see big crowd outside." Bible says Peter along with 11 others stood up and preached. What does that mean? Did Peter and 11 people together choreograph and speak like a choir? Like a chorus? No. Peter stood up to introduce what is happening. 11 people stood every 100 feet, 150 feet. Okay? One person will stand 150 feet away from Peter. Another 150 away from the second person. The fourth person, another 150 feet away from the third person. Because those days, no microphone, no amplifier system. That's why the Bible says 11 people stood with Peter to cover the whole range. Peter will shout from here, "Men and brethren, don't think we are drunk." Number one will repeat, "Men and brethren, don't think we are drunk." Third person will say, "Men and brethren, don't think we are drunk." Like that, 11 have to repeat. Now many people say, why in the Bible it's always written men and brethren? Because that day ladies didn't come out. Only men came. So they told men. But the message is for ladies also. There were few ladies that is mentioned in the Bible because God doesn't care about gender. But only thing, that day only men were standing there. So they said men and brothers. Preach the gospel to them and explain that this is the Holy Spirit that has come from heaven. And 3,000 people immediately got baptized because they understood the same Holy Spirit that came to Moses with a mighty sound and fire has come back. And just like how Moses received the law that time, this time we should receive the new law of grace that God is giving. And they receive the New Testament of God's word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 that when you speak in tongues, there are two kinds. One is heavenly language of the angels, and the other is that you speak in tongues of other languages on the earth which you don't know. I was sitting in a prayer meeting and one lady got up and started shouting, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." So the local pastor, it's a true story, local pastor got up, he walked up to her and said, "Sister, please calm down." And she said, "No, God has filled me with the Holy Spirit. This is tongues." Then pastor told her, "See, if it is tongues, you won't know the meaning of what you're saying. Praise the Lord, meaning you know." She said, "Yes, I know." Then it's not tongues. When you're speaking in tongues, you won't know the meaning of it. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 2 onwards. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man," including the person who is speaking, "no man understands. Howbeit, in the spirit, they are speaking mysteries." Let's say that together. Mysteries. Let's say that again. Mystery. Mystery means no one knows, only God knows. I want to know. Then it won't be tongues. Tongues is speaking mysteries. The Holy Spirit is praying for mysterious things, things of our future, and maybe things that matter to others, but we need not know it. And yet the Holy Spirit from the spirit realm uses our body to pray. I think next month I'm going to deal with the topic of prayer. Because sometimes even, you know, we all have questions like, when God knows my need, can't he just answer? Why should I pray? Answer is, God's judiciary, God's justice system works like this. He never forces a blessing on anybody. God never forces his plan on anybody. If you ask, he will answer. Why? Because he does not violate anybody's free will. Because every blessing has got a stress, a sense of responsibility attached with it. So God says, if you grow up to be responsible for that, then I will bless you when you ask for it. I'm not going to put it on you so that it will destroy you. No. Devil comes and puts things on us without our asking. But God doesn't. Only when you pray, he will answer. So speaking in tongues is a way of praying mysteries that we don't know today. That's what the Holy Bible is saying. Second, let's go to another verse. The Bible says, verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself." Edifies himself. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies. Edifies, the original word meaning there is to build up, like construction of a house. In the spirit realm, there is a build up when you speak in tongues. Let's go to another verse. Verse 14. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, and my understanding, my soul, my mind is unfruitful." See, a lot of times when the Holy Spirit prays through us, the mind blocks us. You know, sometimes we are praying and we feel in our heart, I'm going to have a certain victory. God is going to lead me in a certain direction. Immediately mind will start, no, it won't happen. It won't happen. In the church, you will feel like, that's it. Tomorrow, I'm going to go and finish my project. After church, by the time lunch is over, don't know where that faith went. Now you feel, my God, tomorrow I have to go to office. How will I face that project? It won't happen. 2 hours ago in the church, you were all pumped up. Because what happens? Mind interferes. When the spirit is guiding in a certain way, the mind interferes with doubts and questions and begins to weaken our faith where God cannot work in our life. So the Bible is saying, the Holy Spirit begins to speak prayer through us, bypassing the mind. The devil can't come against it. Your own mind can't come against it. So that God's will for your future will happen without your own mind interrupting. Praying in the spirit is a very powerful spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit is praying for matters through the spirit realm of our life, bypassing the mind, so the prayer goes up without doubts, fears, or any kind of sin. Verse number 26. The Bible is saying, "How is it then, brothers and sisters, when you come on a Sunday together Everyone should sing songs. Have a psalm and sing songs. Have doctrine. Study God's word. Have speaking in tongues. Then you have revelation of God's word. Sometimes you have interpretation of what you're speaking in tongues or customizing God's word to your personal life. All these things you should do, not to compare with each other. I spoke more than you. No, that is wrong. But it should be for edification. The church should be edified through the process. So in worship service, speaking in tongues has its place. This is very, very important. Amen. Tongues is a part of our worship. But the Holy Spirit, when you start reading that chapter, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and further when you go down, the Bible is saying, don't forbid people from speaking in other tongues. Secondly, do things in decency and in order. These are very important points. Holy Spirit fills you. Don't interrupt the prayer meeting. Don't open the window in your house and start shouting in tongues. Then local people have to complain saying, these people are making too much noise during prayer. Then police will come and give you warning. Don't do public nuisance. Then you say, I am suffering for Jesus. Hey. Bible commands you, do things in decency and in order. No, Peter shouted. Peter and 120 disciples were not living in India. They were living in Jerusalem where only Jewish people were there. That is a different context. You come to church when all are singing and shouting. That time you shout. When I start preaching. Listen. Am I helping anybody here? This is very, very important. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, howbeit, when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we don't even utter words. There are expressions of the Spirit that come out. Now, of course, for people who pray like 2-minute prayers every night before going to sleep, you won't know what this is. This is for people who occasionally take time to pray and seek the Lord. And in those experiences, you sometimes are not even speaking in other tongues. You're not talking anything actually. So what is tongues? In your spirit realm, when you're praying, you hear a sound, you feel a sensation, and you know it's not your language. But you speak it out, knowing that it's coming from within. That's speaking in tongues. And this is important because it's a gift of God. It's something the Holy Spirit gives. And it is important to honor that. When you look at the history of the Pentecostal movement, okay, the Holy Spirit speaking. Today, by the way, do you know that Islam is not the largest growing religion? Christianity is not the largest growing religion. Speaking in tongues community is the largest growing religion. According to the worldwide Barna research and Pew research, speaking in tongues community is the fastest growing community. In the Catholic circles, it's called charismatic community. Among the independent churches, it's called Pentecostal community. But now there is nothing like that. Baptist, Southern Baptist, Western Baptist, not Baptist, everybody is speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. You know, no law, no rule by any government can stop the work of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, go ahead, give God a big hand. I have to close. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and say, Lord, we are open to your Holy Spirit. We are open to your presence. We are open to your divine touch. We are open to your divine grace. We don't want tradition to stop us from whatever is your will for our life. We don't want, oh God, in our life to be prejudiced against anything. Let your will be done in our lives. Whatever is your plan, whatever is your will, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let there be no room for evil. Let there be no room for confusion. But let the room be open for your presence in each of our life, oh God. We love you today. We worship you today. We thank you today. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, this beautiful day, we want to thank you Thank you for speaking to our hearts. For so many of us, we are so encouraged in our spirit, oh God, to worship you, to receive from you, to love you, and to honor the gifts that you give us in our private personal lives, so that we walk not just in our own power, but in the power of your Holy Spirit. To you be all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.